Over the last several weeks, we've been talking about what it looks like for us to be identified, not based on where we came from or our background, not based upon our gender or our race, our age, but our identity of who we really are is found in Christ because of who He is and what He's done for us, how He's died for us, paid for our sins on the cross. He brought us into His family as children. That's who we are. We're chosen by Him, created to serve Him and to live for Him. And as we've been talking about these things, it's been very personal and individualistic of who individually we are in Christ. And all those things are true. But it also seems that the emphasis of the New Testament is not who we are in Christ as individuals, but who we are identified in Christ together. Taking all the individual components of our skills and our abilities, our background, our personality, how we're shaped to serve Him, not only as individuals, but more importantly, who we are in Christ together as members of one body. Paul explains this in Romans chapter 12 in just a few verses and continues it in many of his letters to the churches, where he says, "Now as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." As we consider the church and our identity in Christ as the body of Christ, it's more than just a helpful figure of speech. It's more than just a metaphor that gives us an idea to take a concept. But as the body of Christ, we together are the expression, the representation of Christ in the world. In fact, even as Christ ascended into heaven, He promised that we together as His body will accomplish more than He ever accomplished physically here on earth. And He's talking about the universal church for sure. Thousands, millions of people through the ages who have represented Christ. Even today, this image of the body of Christ applies to the universal church, each and every one individually that around the world make up the body of Christ. But this image also applies to us here as members of Plano Bible Chapel. Not members in the formal sense, but members of the body of Christ together as we work and serve just as Christ did when He was physically here on earth, coming to save the world, coming to rescue captives from sin and slavery to it, to heal the brokenhearted, to care for the poor, to love others, to forgive. We all have a physical body, and so that's why it seems that Paul begins to focus on our identity. And the emphasis in these couple verses is that we who are many are one body in Christ. And individually, we have some abilities and some unique things about us, but it's not the individual aspect that is the focus. It's the one. It's the body. It's together. And all of this is because we are in Christ, united with Him by faith, drawn together in Him. And so it's not only that the church is the body of Christ, it's the church and Christ together that we are the body of Christ to the world. Paul elaborates this in his letter to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians. I want to invite you to take your Bibles or open up your Bibles, turn them on. However you go about doing that, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, this is a familiar chapter because Paul talks a lot about love and what it looks like and how we are to love one another. But before he gets to this love chapter, in the same chapter, he talks about how we together in Christ are his body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, he says, "For as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ." Now, just in this first verse, notice how many times he emphasizes one and many. Taking the individual and the many of individuals, but makes us one in Christ. He goes on and says in verse 13, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. And we were all made to drink of one Spirit. So the body is not one, but many." Verse 15, he says, "If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. And if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole were an ear, where would the sense of smell? But now," verse 18, "God has placed the parts, each one of them, in the body, just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? Now there are many parts, yet one body." Verse 21, "So the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, all the more, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are necessary. And the parts of the body that we think to be less honorable, we clothe with the greatest honor," or with the greater honor. "And our unpresentable parts have a better presentation. But our presentable parts have no need of clothing. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." And he summarizes this all again in verse 27. "Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it." We are part of Christ, connected to Christ. And because we're connected to Christ, we are eternally connected to each other. That our identity is not based upon who I am as an individual and who you may be as an individual, but our identity, our greatest purpose, is who we are together. The many, one, in Christ. And so we find our identity together in him so that we function, so that we operate, so that we live as one body and expressing the life of Christ, even as he ascended into heaven and is there doing great things for us, preparing a home for us, interceding for us. While he's doing all that away from this body, we, together with him, are his body. So let's break this down into some practical things for us to see together of how we are to live, how we're to function, how we're to find our identity in Christ together as members of his body. Well, first of all, in Christ, we are united in the Spirit of God. Paul goes to specific detail of talking about how the body is one. Verse 13, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body." We weren't born into Christ's body as infants, right? Nobody is born a Christian. In fact, what we're born is sinners, eternally separated from God. And so God himself sent his son Jesus into the world to become sin for us so that we might be declared righteous and become the righteousness of God, not by who we are individually, but by who we are in Christ. And so John the Baptist and even Jesus foretold of the time that not long after he was crucified and resurrected and ascended into heaven, that believers in Christ would be baptized by the Spirit, that we would be filled with His Holy Spirit and become one body. And so it's by faith in Christ, Christ who baptizes us, fills us with the Holy Spirit, that we become part of the body of Christ. We're not born into it, we're reborn into it, baptized by the Spirit of God. So our identity is in Christ, so that we're united with one another because of Christ, but we're united with each other by faith. And so when the Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ, He puts us into Christ and we live in Christ, so that Jesus could say, "You are in me and I am in you." There's a unity, a union of us individually and together in Christ. So what does this mean? Besides just words, especially for those of you who are having a hard time staying awake this morning. Here's what this means. Is that the church isn't simply a group of religious people who gather together to enjoy some mutually desired things, have our own personal preferences met. Rather, the church is a group of people who, because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we share the same life. We share the same purpose. We belong by faith, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, we belong to the same Lord. And so we're filled with the same Spirit, indwelled with the same Spirit who unites us. We're individually given gifts of the Spirit that complement and complete each other, so that we represent the body of Christ. And we're intended to function not individually with our own abilities or gifts or style, but by the Spirit, we function as one, together, for the purpose of changing the world, leading all people to a life-changing, ever-growing relationship with Jesus. Not just me, not just you, not just elders, not just Sunday school teachers, not just nursery workers, all of us together, because we're united in the same Spirit of God. That's the foundation. And with that, secondly, in Christ, we are unique in our abilities. Paul said here in 1 Corinthians 12 and in other passages of Scripture that the body is not one part, but many. Because Christ designed His church to be many members, each with its own unique function, so that each and every one of us individually have our own unique abilities, our own unique experiences, our own unique backgrounds, our own unique purpose, that when combined, complete the body of Christ to a watching world around us. That every member of the body, because each and every one of us, each and every one of you, is specifically unique, as part of the many, you contribute your unique abilities, your unique perspective, your unique life to the body life of the church. There are many jobs to be done here in the work of the church, and some of them are to be done on Sundays. And so something that is common is that only certain gifts and abilities that relate to the function of Sunday ministry, or maybe Wednesday night or other times, those tend to be highlighted and emphasized. But actually, if we look at Scripture of who Christ came for, He came not for the healthy, but for the sick. And although we all have a measure of unhealthiness, but in Christ we are forgiven. We're declared righteous. We are healed from our consequences of death, separated from God. And so the function of the church as the body of Christ is not exclusively or solely for Sunday morning ministries, where you get to see people with only certain amount of talents or abilities. No, the function of the church is not for the church. It's for the world. And so all of our abilities are not regulated to a certain period of time of the week or even a time of the day. But for the world, where we live, where we work, where we go to school, all those different places, that's where our unique abilities are to be used together as the body of Christ. Now, it doesn't mean that Sunday morning ministry is unimportant, but Sunday morning, our purpose through the leadership and structure of the church is to equip all of us to be mutually equipped to walk out into the world and represent Christ as his body, right? In Christ, we have unique abilities. And so what this means is that what is often emphasized are the things that are most public or most noticeable. But really, the essential qualities, the essential unique abilities are the ones that go on behind the scenes that nobody sees. Prayer, service, acts of kindness, encouragement, love, making sacrifices. All those things are usually not public. They're private. And they're unique to each and every one of us and how we live out the body life of Christ with one another and in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our workplace, in our schools. In Christ, we're unique. But in the same time, in Christ, because of those unique abilities, we are different from one another. And that's where things get interesting, right? It's not in our uniqueness. It's when we notice the differences in one another. In verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says about the body and the members, if they were all the same part, where would the body be? That different functions as well as different members are necessary in the body. And Paul's point was not necessarily either the superiority or even the inferiority of some members, but of the need for all members. Especially because God has made us unique, that means we're also different. And if we're different, then that also means that other people do things differently than us. And that requires a work of the Spirit, where we're united by God's Spirit, not to grumble and complain or to criticize when those differences become evident, but to celebrate and to appreciate them. Because our identity is not individually in our abilities and how we would do things, but the focus is on the diversity and the differences that each part that is different, God created it. Christ brought each and every one of us who are different into the church as his body for a specific purpose. Because if we were all the same, where would the body be? And maybe one of the issues that comes up with that is, whereas we like to focus on our uniqueness individually, we get kind of disgruntled, and I know at least I do at times, kind of bent out of shape sometimes when others' differences come into conflict with my uniqueness. Well, that's not how I would do it. That's not what I think is important. That's not my style. And so when I start getting into a rut of me, myself, and I, it hinders the work of the body, where Christ brought us by his Spirit into one body, where differences should be celebrated, not complained about, so that we work together. Even when differences infringe upon our own uniqueness. After all, when we get men and women together, and that's enough reason for misunderstanding and differences right there. But also when we get different ages together, right? Different seasons of life, different experiences throughout life. That brings about some different things. There are different cultural and racial backgrounds. Sometimes there are even different language backgrounds. And we want to celebrate those kind of things that are differences. It's one of the reasons we have a Spanish service, that we want those who are a part of this body who have a different heart language and want to be able to have the freedom to express that culturally and in a language, that we still have unity even with difference, so that together we can function with those differences as the body of Christ. Tom Constable, in his notes about 1 Corinthians, wrote this. He said, too often, because we differ from each other, we often differ with each other. But really, it's where we differ from each other that we should celebrate the most and focus on those things, because when we recognize and celebrate our differences, that's when the body of Christ functions as it should, as Christ intended. Fourth, in Christ, we are dependent upon each other. Verse 21 says, so the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, nor again the head to the feet, I don't need you. And he carries on that image and that metaphor. Like members of our physical bodies, each member of Christ is significant and necessary, dependent upon one another. And one of the reasons that I think we come into clash with this idea of dependence is because our culture, especially our American culture, celebrates and focuses on the individual. That we view ourselves first as individuals. We focus on ourselves, what we can be on our own. And maybe give kind of lip service to the idea of togetherness, but really we still see ourselves as individuals and how we might better ourselves, self-help, pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, do what we can individually. I see this even in our sports these days, that one of the trends that's going on is people no longer being a fan of a team, but they become fans of individual players. And they just change their team affiliation depending upon where their favorite basketball player or football player or baseball player, whatever team they play for. We celebrate the individual. To get all you can individually. But in Christ, we are dependent upon one another. Because this individualistic attitude and independence, it always creates a sense of rivalry or competition, selfish ambition, or who's going to get the recognition. We're dependent upon one another because we need each other. In verse 18, we see that in Christ, we're not only dependent upon each other, but we are essential to each other. Inspired by God, Paul wrote this in verse 18, God has placed the parts, each one of them, in the body just as he wanted. Not how I would do it, not how the elders might organize it, but God himself placed each one of us in the body with our unique abilities, with our differences, being dependent upon one another because we're essential to one another. We're not to be Christians in isolation, but in relationship with each other. And see where we're needed. Dee Dee and I have been here at Plano Bible Chapel for more than 15 years now. And to be honest and real with you, there are times where we feel like, are we really needed? Where do we fit in? Even for me, I think, could somebody else do this better than I could? Maybe you've been here 6 weeks or so, and you found PBC to be really friendly, but you know, after that, you're kind of like, I don't know, I really haven't connected with anyone yet. How do I do that? All of those kind of attitudes, including mine, are focused on me or you. rather than how Christ has created us to be essential, regardless of how we feel, to live out the truth of who we are with our uniqueness and our differences. And usually when I find myself in a feeling of being insecure or feeling inadequate, I'd be reminded that the church isn't about me. It's about Christ. And so what I have to do is pray and say, Lord, where do you want me to engage? If I'm feeling weird about where things are and where I am in connection with community and other people and friends, it's not them, it's me. So that it can become us in what we're doing. To be essential in doing the work where every one of us uses our abilities and our spiritual gifts, engaging rather than stepping back and disengaging. We're essential. It's been kind of funny, just this past week, I heard a familiar phrase in at least three different conversations. And the term was church shopping. I found that to be a curious term, and it's one that we use in our culture and our world. But it has this idea of, I'm going to shop for a church like I shop at Walmart to get what I want, my preferences, my taste, what fits or feels good, what is natural, what makes me look and feel good about myself. But that very attitude of more of an individualistic part of our culture focuses on us rather than Christ, who sees each of us essential and a critical part of the body of Christ in our work in this world, whether it's here locally or around the world like the Franks in China. You and I are essential regardless of how we feel, that we live by faith in who we are as an essential part of his body. Sixth, in Christ, we are to be concerned for each other as the body. Verse 26 of chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, if one member suffers, then all members suffer with it. That is, the suffering of one person means the suffering of all. If you've ever stubbed your toe or got a splinter like I did this week, the whole body suffers with it. If you have had any measure of back pain, you realize you can't sit, you can't sleep, you can't breathe without your whole body being reminded of the pain that your back is experiencing. If one member of the body physically suffers, the whole body feels it. And that's the way it is for us as well. And what that takes is for us to move and shift our focus from us and maybe what attention we have or the busyness of our lives to be concerned about the suffering and the struggle of others. You know, as Robert Matthews mentioned in praying for Nina Ferguson this week, what an incredible week she's had. Incredible highs of retiring from serving faithfully and working at Frito-Lay for decades. To the next day, burying her mother next to her father at DFW National Cemetery, celebrating her life yesterday with family and friends, and today celebrating her birthday. When she suffers, we suffer, and all of us use our abilities and our differences, our uniqueness, to help care for her. Or Sherry Marchbank, who recently had a seizure and has been diagnosed with a brain tumor, preparing to continue on to a mission trip to Russia. As their family struggles and wrestles with this, we struggle and we wrestle in praying for them and caring for them and the uniqueness of our abilities and our spiritual gifts and how we express care and concern. We do it together. And not just the high-profile ones that we all know about, struggles and suffering, but maybe just the things that are shared in a small group or with someone that you're discipling. When one member of the body suffers, we all suffer because we're concerned about each other. And finally, in Christ, as part of one body, though we are many, we are encouraged by each other. That's our purpose in Christ as a body, is to encourage each other. The second part of verse 26 says, if one member is honored, then all the members rejoice with it. We rejoice and celebrate not only struggles and suffering, but retirements, birthdays, anniversaries, accomplishments at work, things that happened during vacation Bible school. We celebrate youth camp, those who are coming to Christ. We're encouraged by serving together for a single parent clothing giveaway, by each of us using our abilities and our resources to serve together, to represent to our watching community. We care about more than just the people who show up here on Sunday mornings. But as the body of Christ, we're encouraged to show the world, at least starting in our local community, the love of Christ by meeting the needs of others right here where we are. This past week, while our kids were away, Dee Dee and I took some time to accomplish some tasks that just in the busyness of life just have been kind of pushed aside and hadn't gotten to. And one of those was our garage. So here's how we live. Just having kids and life and school and all those things, the garage typically becomes just a place where we don't have time to deal with it now. We'll just put it in the garage and deal with it later. Well, this week was the week to deal with it. And we dealt with it. This may not be a surprise to you, but Dee Dee is the better organized of the two. And so I said, Dee Dee, you figure out where it needs to go. Help me understand where it needs to go, and I'll work toward making sure it goes there when life gets crazy and busy. And so I did some things, but she took the lead for it. And I took out the trash. I took things to be donated and brought up clothes for the giveaway, all those kind of things. But our garage is almost there. We're going to finish it in the next week or so. We work together and clean the garage. But Dee Dee really did it. We also, over the weekend, painted our kind of music room that hasn't been painted for the last 15 years. Now, I had more of the paintbrush and the roller in my hand, but we went to the store. We picked out the color, and we painted the music room. We still got a little bit more of trim to do and those kind of things, but each of us using our gifts and abilities, we can say, we did it, and we're encouraged to do it together. In the same way, we, as the body of Christ, as we live out the purpose and the mission and the function of Christ in his body, even if different people actually do it, while we may pray or support or cheer on, we can say we, as the body of Christ, are living out our purpose of reaching all people in our community and around the world, introducing them to Jesus. For we individually are members of his body.